Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Chris has me fired up because we were just talking about the Ranger game last night. But forget that. Let's put that aside. We spoke about one draft pick on Friday because nothing else had happened. And since then, man, wow, the Giants added a lot. And Dave Gettleman, he's got a whole new reputation, bud, doesn't he?
Who took over Dave Gettleman's body in the draft? look, pretty interesting times. Dave is now known as Trader Dave by around the league. Crazy. In the NFL circles, you know, and the Giant Insider paper.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, look, when he traded down from 42nd to 50 and still got Aziz.
42 to 50.
42nd to 50, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 47. I'm sorry, dude.
No, 42 to 50. 42nd, yeah. 42 to 50.
Yeah.
And he still landed Aziz. You know, people around the league were like, wow, Dave is having the best draft.
Yeah.
You know, in 2021.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting picks for next year, first round picks. He's still getting a receiver that was rated just a notch below. And some scouts even had him just as good as Smith and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Some scouts had him on the same level as those guys, you know?
Yeah.
And then turn around and get Jerry, you know, a couple weeks ago, I tweeted, I said, the Giants reach at 11. It's going to be for the Georgia kid.
You said it on the podcast too.
And I said it on the podcast. I said, if they reach, which I hope they didn't, because I don't see 11 overall talent. Yep. I said, but if they reach, it's going to be for the Georgia kid.
Yes.
And, you know, oh, that's crazy. So they didn't have to reach. They picked up some assets, and they still got their guy. And he's a top two, three guy, edge guy in this draft, maybe number one. I like everything about him. I think he fits into Graham's system perfectly, you know, what Graham wants to do.
Chris, we talked about on Friday night, or it was Friday night, and we said, if you had your choice of Devontae Smith or what the Giants did, you know, I think we take what happened.
But
the feeling there, I was even happier with the second round. I if that was a home run, that second round move was a grand slam out of the stadium into the next city. I mean, to get the guy at 50 that you were considering at 11, but really, like you said, was a little high for a pass rusher in this draft. To get that guy at 50 and then come away with another third, what... I mean, bravo, Dave Gettleman. You got to give him credit, man. That was incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. And Dave admitted he was going to take him at 42 if he didn't get a trade.
Yeah, saw
that. He didn't get an offer.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
He admitted he was going to take him at 42.
Yeah.
So, and he still get him at 50. So, listen, Dave Gettleman, what can you say? Great draft by Dave. You know? Yeah. Now, Jerry, that being said, was I a little surprised they didn't draft one offensive lineman? Yeah, I was.
Big time.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say, no.
Right.
No, I was surprised.
Right.
You know, the guy I really liked went in the third round, Wyatt Davis.
Well, Banks went in the second too, right?
Banks went a little higher than I thought he would go.
Yeah.
And then obviously, Jerry, the kid I really liked besides Wyatt Davis was Trey Smith.
Yeah.
And he dropped it a sixth round. So obviously, so many teams were concerned about his medicals.
Because
he was way better than a sixth round talent.
Right.
But the Chiefs kind of took a flyer on him, I guess you could say, because he's had blood clots, he's had medical issues. But as a kid, if he stays healthy, it could be a real bona fide starter for the Chiefs. But getting back to the original point, Jerry, I was surprised, man. I thought they would address the offensive line. They didn't. And that shows you how much confidence they have in this offensive line.
Yeah.
They brought in a few undrafted free agents, but don't, you know, you can't be looking at them and go, oh, you can't expect them to do anything. Okay, now, could they find a diamond in the rough? Like Sean O'Hara back in the day before the Giants? Yeah.
There's a few, right? Soybert, him, Nick Gates. But for every three of those, there's 100 that are just never made.
So we hope they do. They brought in a veteran like Jonathan Harrison in the offseason. They had some depth and all that. And Fulton's over there. So, Jerry, it was surprising they didn't address the offensive line. But it shows you how much confidence they have in the offensive line coming in this year. And we'll see if it comes back to burn them. You know what I mean? But they have all the confidence in the world of these guys, man.
You know, the third round pick to me, I even made sense, and I understood why they did it. Because if you looked at last year, even though they had Bradberry and Adoree Jackson, and basically Julian Love is the third, or basically the guy that they could put anywhere in the secondary, Julian Love almost. But you look at last year, and it was James Bradberry and, you know, Ryan Lewis, Isaac Yiadom, you know, Sam Beal doesn't exist. You had a second corner where you were almost taking guys off the street or just figuring out who the hell is going to play this week. So taking a guy like Aaron Robbins, and I understand why they did it, and I was fine with it, especially the fact that they traded up for him. Again, getting value, supposedly a guy in the top 50 that they got at, what, 71, I think it was?
71, yeah.
But to not take a lineman after that, I was really surprised. And I thought, you know, the Giants don't do things the way we think they're going to. I'm not unhappy, especially with the first three picks. But it was like, okay, when are we going to get a guard? And we didn't. And I just wrote the column, right? Like, this is all going to rest on the line now, right? Like, you're now betting on Thomas, Lemieux, Gates, Hernandez, and Pert. And that's fine, but it better work because the rest of this team seems like it's very talented now. Like, the offense seems kind of loaded, and it's going to come down to an offensive line that it seems like the Giants are the only ones who have faith in them. But I guess that's why they pay Joe Judge all that money, so...
Yeah, and you have to put the faith in Judge, and his new offensive line coach, you know, his new offensive assistant coaches and all that, who are very confident that Thomas, the Lemieux, even Hernandez coming back in year four. What is this, year four for Will, right, Jerry?
Yes.
Yeah, even Hernandez coming back for in year four. And then you throw in some veterans, you know, and the return of Nate Solder, you know, competing with Pert. If Pert doesn't quite work out, you got the veteran Solder to throw the right tackle. But they... Hey, you know, they really like Matt Pert. They think this kid's going to be playing right tackle for them, you know? Are they rolling the dice, Jerry? No, I hate to say rolling the dice, but can it blow up in their face? Yeah.
I'm worried about guard.
Time will tell. Yeah. You know, so we'll see. I mean, time will tell. You know what I mean? Time will tell how these kids play because like you just said, Jerry, if these kids don't progress and this line doesn't play well, it's going to be a bad look, dude. You know, it's going to be a bad look. So we'll start finding out, you know, in August and when the games start in September, man. But they're very confident, Jerry. That's all I could say. And time will
tell. I hope they're right. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're all
right. We all hope they're right.
Hope our skepticism is unfounded and these guys turn out to really take the next step. And you try to think, somebody tweeted today, I forget who it was, you know, look at the 2004 line and then they added Kareem McKenzie. But they kind of took the next step into 2005 and really had a nice run there. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope they're right. And it is what it is. They're going to bet on that, and we'll see where it goes.
Hey, look, Jerry. You know, I was blowing Matt Pert's horn. You know, tooting his horn. From training camp on.
Yes.
Played well in the snaps he played. Had a little, you know, struggle at times there towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
But you know, now you have a little bit of an off-season program coming up. You know, probably June, the mini camp.
Right.
And all that stuff is going to be in person. And they expect big things out of him in year two, man. You know, and you know what, Jerry? They should, because I saw it. I think the whole Giant Nation saw it.
Yeah.
I know he struggled at times there towards the end of the season, but there was also times he gave them quality snaps. Oh, and everybody was like, whoa, this hurt, remember?
Yeah, yep.
So they're looking at, you know, this kid could play in year... And year two is a starter, and if he does, Jerry, then you got to worry about that guard position a little bit, like we said.
Yeah.
But they look a kid like Shane Lemieux. They really like him, man. Yeah. They like what he brings to the table for them and what they want to do.
Yeah, I know you said he needed to improve his pass protection, and you're right. But he looked so much better to me than Hernandez is the one I'm scared of. Hernandez is the one I'm worried about, and I know he was a second round pick, and it's time for him to move forward. But if I look at that whole line. I'm looking at Hernandez right now is probably the biggest question mark. And that's amazing being that Lemieux was a fifth round pick last year, but it's Hernandez. And does he stay at left guard? Does he go to right guard? I don't even know. I have no idea where they put him, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I could tell you this, Jerry.
Yeah.
Somebody reached out to me the other day about Will Hernandez and said that he's really busting his butt, which he does every year. Will, he's a hardworking kid. He's no slouch.
Yeah.
But he looks a little lighter on his feet.
Okay.
From what I understand, he's in some kind of training regiment, whatever the hell he's doing, out in Arizona, somewhere.
And, yes, yeah, I saw clips of it, yeah.
I'm not sure, but supposedly his goal was to trim down just a bit, get a little quicker on his feet, and we'll see, you know, how he looks. So you gotta kind of get a hope that look, he's no bum, Hernandez. He's no slouch.
No, he's not. Right.
But he just hasn't played like that number two pick that everybody thought.
Right. This is, it's not like we're going in with John Jerry and Patrick Omame. Right. This isn't the case.
Right. Where,
you know, that's right. that would be like, oh my God, Daniel, run, hide. Right. So it is. It's a lot better than that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. Definitely, Jerry. You know, let's not. We're not trying to portray this like he's some kind of tomato in it. You know what I mean?
Right. Still makes me laugh. So they get Aaron Robinson. Now their defensive backfield, Chris. Apparently they don't want anyone to score, which is awesome. I mean, you're adding Aaron Robinson to Bradbury, Jackson, Peppers, Love, Logan Ryan, McKinney, who feels like a rookie again. Darnay Holmes, my God. Wow. Okay, great. I'm not going to complain. I'm happy about it. Then they add a kid, an interesting prospect, Ellerson Smith, who's what, 6'7", 255 or so. Somebody tweeted the Giants just drafted Ted Hendricks, and I think it was Big Blue VCR. He's a guy who he jumps like 40. It's ridiculous. Did you see the clip of him just standing still, jumping 42 inches? Like his vertical's, he's in the 99 percentile, right? 6'7". Like just line up over the center and block every field goal.
That's why I put that on Twitter.
Right.
You know, that's why. And Papa, the Giants announcer, was accusing me of trying to take his job. You know, that's right.
I saw that. That was great.
fooling around, but you know. But I'm glad everybody in the Giants, you know, the followers and the Giants fans, all could hear Papa's voice as I was tweeting that out. You know, like field goal blocked. You know, because the kid is like a, you know, the kid could sky. You saw it in college. He had blocked field goals all over the place.
And he's already 6'7". I mean, look, he's got to put some weight on. You could see it, but hey. You know, the numbers were impressive, and he didn't play last year, but it wasn't by choice, right? I mean, they didn't play Northern Iowa, right?
Yeah. They went to the spring schedule or something, and he opted
out. Look, I'm okay with taking a flyer. Again, they didn't take a guard. It is what it is. But, you know, you take a flyer on an edge rusher, and now you're adding another. Look, he's probably a longer-term project, but you're adding this kid to Ojulari, Lorenzo Carter, Zimenez, Carter Coughlin, Cam Brown. All of a sudden, you got all these edge rushers. You know, it's going to be by committee, but I expect one or two of them to kind of blossom into something. So, again, I have no problem with that pick, dude. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's another edge. Can't have enough edge guys and corners in this league, right?
Yep.
Jerry, I got to be honest with you. You know, I wish they would have taken offensive lineman.
Sure, me too.
But they didn't. Right. They went with edge again. And like you said, Jerry, he's a little bit of a project. He's got to gain some weight. He's a little thin. But he has – untapped potential. You can see how quick he is. You know, he did a lot. You know, he did do some things in college. I know it was Northern Iowa and all that, but the Giants see a kid that could be real athletic off that edge, you know. And, you know, when they drafted him too, Joe Judge had visions of him on special teams blocking extra points, blocking field goals and all that. You know that. Whether or not he's active game day, we'll see. But you know they have that. You know, Judge was like looking at that, salivating, looking at the film probably of him blocking field goals. You know, so
right. Then in the
running
sixth
back,
round, I was gonna say I don't want to gloss over both, but if you could tell me anything about Gary Brightwell, I'd be really impressed. I don't watch many Arizona games, but these obviously Brightwell was a taken really for special teams. Gettleman admitted that. Seems like a bigger runner. Did the same thing everyone else did. Ran to YouTube to see what his clips were. You know, some fumbling problems, but can catch the ball out of the backfield. Then Rodarius Williams, who is Greedy Williams' older brother, they basically said they couldn't pass him up because of the value. Again, another corner. We have 75 corners on this team. But I remember, I remember a long time ago, 1984, I believe it was, we drafted a guy out of Michigan State, and my sister said to me, I remember at the time, these are things I remember when I was 9 years old at the time, we have linebackers coming out of our ass. Why do we draft this guy? And it was Carl Banks. So there you go. You never know, right? I mean, you know, we had Andy Hedden, Taylor, and Carson, and Van Pelt was just cut. So listen, I'm not going to complain about a sixth round cornerback of value. So,
and Jerry, I like to talk about something. You know, I put on look. Joe Judge came from New England. Right. Patrick Graham came from New England.
Yep.
Bill Belichick has built from the outside in. The last 3-4 years. Secondary in.
Yeah.
Because Belichick's a genius. He always adapts. Yeah. Always adapts to the league, what's going on. That's why he's Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
And you see what the Giants have done the last few years. Now, when Gettleman is always with the hog mollies, we're going to build inside out and all that. And Dave, not that he's got away from that, but the last few years.
Yeah.
Judge comes in last year. Patrick Graham comes with Joe. And all of a sudden, you see what? They signed Bradbury last year. This year, they signed Odori. Right? They draft corners up the butt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They got Xavier last year. They can't pass him up in the second round. They were going to trade down. Xavier was too much, too good to pass up. They draft him.
Right.
Right? Peps over here a couple of – you notice they're building from the secondary in.
Do you like that?
Jerry, I don't have a problem with that if you have an edge guy and Leo got 11 and a half sacks. But, Jerry, in today's football, you can't argue with that.
Dude. No, the reason I'm asking is because it's so different from what the Giants built really the last two championships on was the pass rush. Right. Now, what people forget is Corey Webster was a second-round pick. Aaron Ross was one. Entrell Roll was a free agent, but he was a first-round pick. So they did load up that – and Terrell Thomas was a second-round pick, right? Mm-hmm. They loaded up their defensive backfield with high picks. So – but this is very different. Like they are, like I said, they have 8 to 9 guys. It seems like that can play back there. So it's a new way. Listen, if it works, it works. I don't care.
I mean, just look at this draft, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
A corner, another corner, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Dave's ignoring up front.
Yeah.
You know, but where, you know, a couple of years ago with that sixth pick, Jerry, or that maybe even that third pick, it might have been a big body up front.
Yeah, we wanted Josh Allen. Yeah.
It might have been a defense. What?
We wanted Josh Allen with that sixth pick.
No. I'm talking about like this year with that third pick was a corner, the sixth pick was a corner.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Daniel Jones.
A couple years ago with Dave, those picks might have been defensive linemen.
Yeah. Right.
This year, they're corners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
What I'm getting is that not that Dave is throwing out his philosophy. He hasn't thrown it out and said, oh, I don't like big bodies now. But you could see the little shift in philosophy now under Joe Judge.
Yeah.
And he got that from Bill up in New England, Belichick. Sure. You know what I mean? Because that's what if anybody thinks I'm, you know, what are you talking about, Belichick? Look at Bill's secondary last few years. Been one of the best in football.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think it goes back to what we said. Like Gettleman is GMing according to what his coaches want, right? And with Shurmur, it was these are the guys this is the quarterback I want. These are the you know, Betcher saying he wants these guys from the Cardinals. But his draft picks were, you know, BJ Hill, big guy, right? McIntosh, like that was his philosophy. So it's a good point, dude, that you bring up. This is a whole shift, and it's Judge's imprint on this. But Gettleman is smart enough. You got to give him credit. He's smart enough and not stubborn enough. And he's not stubborn where he listens to him. This is giving he's giving Joe Judge the team and the philosophy he wants.
Yeah. And that's what Dave is. That's what Dave does.
Right.
It's not a dictatorship, Dave.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I do believe, though, Jerry, that Judge – coming from where he came from.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick calling John Mara and saying, yeah, this is your guy, Judge. Yeah. This guy's the real, you know, this guy's your guy, John, you know?
Right.
That his voice carries a little more than Shermer's did.
You know what I mean? Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Maybe.
And I think you've seen that. And they had some times in the draft room, they were going, you know, possible trades and things were getting hectic. And Joe Judge calmed everybody down. Judge calmed everybody down in the draft. Guys, relax.
Yeah,
we'll work on this. It'll work out.
It's his second year on the job. Like he's younger than us. Like, and he's like, everybody, calm down. Like it's unbelievable.
Well, yeah,
it's amazing
because you know he comes from a draft room, Jerry.
Yeah,
where Belichick's like this. All right, we're gonna draft. You know what? Call Dave Gettleman. Get a 30-second pick for the 7th.
Belichick puts his dog in front of his computer.
Yeah, Belichick has his dog petting his dog. Is okay. We're gonna draft this kid. I'll move down. We're gonna get Christian Barrymore. Move down to the second round. You know what I mean? I mean, there's no panic.
No.
Ernie Adams, his old boy, who's from what I understand, Belichick's last year.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, his wizard behind the scenes. Actually, he's retiring, but everything was calm. So Judge is bringing that over here.
Yeah.
Guys, calm. Down.
Yeah.
We'll work on this. We'll trade back. That's a New England philosophy too. Trading back.
Yeah.
So Dave did a hell of a job. He working with Chris Pettit, working with Joe Judge, Patrick Graham, heavy influence. What he liked because you know he's defensive guys. Patrick went over him over and over. Jerry, I can tell you this: this Aaron Robinson kid.
Yeah.
they really didn't, you know, they knew they met him at the Senior Bowl, whatever it was. And a couple of things flew out at them on the tape.
Right.
Two things that convinced them they want how physical he was.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when they met him, he was all business, the kid, all football.
Yeah.
And it's something about him, like Judge says, you know, when you meet some kids, you see, hey, this kid's all about football.
Right.
And he lights up a room and plays gravity. So they met Robinson down in the Senior Bowl. And the kid was all bit, and it was something about him. And Judge says, I love this kid.
Yeah.
Not to mention the kid's a big physical corner and he sticks his, he's a real physical kid.
Yeah.
And Graham liked him. I know this for a fact. Graham liked him because the kid could play man.
Right.
He could play zone. Mm. He could do it all.
Yeah.
It's not just a press guy, or not just a zone kid or a press guy or can only play a cover three and then you put him in man and it's like good luck. No. And they like this physicality about him. And they love the way he was all about football. And that's what Judge is looking for, Jerry. Guys all about football.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you, so he went up and got him, dude.
Do you think Graham will play, and we're going to send out the tweet soon. Do you think Graham will play less zone with all these cornerbacks or he'll just stick to the
I think you'll see more man, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you'll see more man.
He can now.
You know, until it's proven otherwise, I think you'll see a lot more man.
I mean, they're in a position, and don't get mad at me for saying this, but Julian Love is like their fifth corner right now. That's how good, right? Like, no offense to Julian, but like it's that, it looks like that right now. Like Darnay, Holmes, and Robinson will probably fight it out for the slot. Robinson could play the outside, but like right now, the way it looks like this secondary is loaded. Like eight guys that can play. Thank God. That's why I didn't have I like the pick. I was fine with it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be they're going to be a very interesting group of guys to watch in training camp.
Yeah.
And the most intriguing, I guess, is going to be the offensive line or how they do in camp, you know?
Yes.
So, but, but to watch this secondary against the offense every day, against the guys at Galladay.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney, Shep. Yeah. And I don't think Shep, look, Jerry, Shep's going to be on a mission this year. You know that.
Yeah.
He probably thinks the writing's on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Slayton, your boy Ingram, you know. And, of course, that 26 guy coming out of the backfield. So,
Chris, Kyle Rudolph, buddy.
And my boy Rudolph. Yeah, I forgot about my boy. And my boy Rudolph. Jerry, those 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s in training camp is going to be must-see.
Yeah.
You know? Just to see those young kids the secondary, some of the veterans, obviously with Adoree and Brad, and then the kids, you know, back there, and then X McKinney against the Tonys, the Kadarius, and of course that Galladay fella, you know, that everybody seems to have forgotten about the last few weeks, right? Because the last few days because they drafted Tony, right? Everybody seems to forgot that they got Galladay.
Unbelievable. You know, so. Oh my God.
Fun time. So Giants got weapons up the butt, but they really do.
And they added some weapons on defense. It's just like you said, it's gonna come down to that line. All right, guys. Anything else on the draft before we take a quick break?
Oh, they're getting Aaron Rodgers too, Jerry. So they might get Rodgers in the next few days.
Broke. Yes.
I got to be honest with you. So Dave Gettleman's on a radio show, local radio show in New York, and they asked him about Rodgers. You know, and of course Dave says, "Oh, well, we always look at everything." You know.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like some people actually wanted to run with that and say, "Oh, the Giants might be interested." I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry, I didn't even waste. The
didn't
energy
give it a second look.
In my finger to even hit the keys on my computer to tweet that or my phone. Didn't even waste the energy.
No.
I saw some people did waste the energy on that. Why, I don't know. But, you know, and another thing, Jerry.
Yeah.
Maybe I could reassure everybody. Daniel Jones is their quarterback next year, just to let you know.
Yeah.
That no matter how many times Dave Gettleman's asked, Joe Judge is the X. If Jones is the guy next year, Jones is the guy next year. You know, just to let you know, Jerry. You know, because I don't think 6,000 times is good enough. You know, to reassure everybody that Jones is the quarterback. You know,
I think you're right. All right, I just sent the tweet out, Chris. Before we go to break, I just want to say one thing to you. May the 4th be with you. There you go.
What is that?
It's Star Wars Day, buddy. May the 4th. Oh. May 4th. All right.
Okay. I thought it was May the 4th be with you.
Well, it's May 4th.
Got it.
All right. All right, guys, we're going to hit a break and then we'll be back. All right, dude, there's like there's eight in the queue. Let's see when they come up. And then
eight in a queue. Wow.
Eight in the queue.
That's like studio talk.
Eight in the queue.
What is that? Guys, eight waiting?
Yes. And here like comes that. Ryan Williams first again. There we go. Let me check. Let him in. Ryan Williams was first last week, and it looks like he's first this week. And I said, everybody, make sure you unmute, which he's looking at his mute button now. I can see him. Unmute, and he's trying to find it.
Ryan, unmute, buddy, if you can hear us.
Nope.
Unmute in the corner.
Somewhere.
Can you hear us?
He can hear us.
Oh, he can hear us?
Okay. Oh, you can tell.
In the court. There you go. I think you did it, Ryan.
You got it.
Ryan. You guys hear me?
All right. There you are.
I'm so sorry. I lost you again.
What's up, buddy?
How you guys doing tonight?
Ryan Williams. What's up, brother?
Not much. I'm two for two. I feel great.
You're better than Francisco Lindor right now. I don't know if you're a Met fan, but.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
So, obviously, a home run for Dave Gettleman in this draft. Even the immortal Mark Ross in NFL Network. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yeah,
Dave Gettleman an A+ for his draft. Yeah.
Coming from that buffoon, that's quite a.
He did that because he didn't build the line, so Ross was fine with it. Ross was like, "This was a great draft." Line.
Yeah. Anyway. Of course. You know, I've been a critic of Gettleman. He has plenty of them out there, but you know, you got to give him credit for looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Not thinking about the 2021 Giants and doing what was right for the franchise, which you gotta admit, it was a home run all the way around.
Yep.
Well, Ryan, first off, you know what? I like you, dude, because you just said you're a critic of Gettleman.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people out there, Ryan, that are critics of Gettleman, and they just refuse to acknowledge when the dude does something right.
Yeah.
So I like your open-mindedness because you know what, Ryan? If you came in here and said, oh, you know what, Gettleman, he traded down, but he didn't get this guy, he didn't get that guy, you know, he still stinks and all that crap, you know?
Yeah.
I would have been like, all right, this guy Ryan's a buffoon. You know what I mean? But you know what, Ryan? Yeah. He had a heck of a draft. To get a number one from the Bears next year, dude, after the Eagles moved up and got Smith, because Smith was their guy. They were going to draft him at 11. There's no question. I know that for a fact. You know?
That was my question. Would they have done the trade if say, the Cowboys stood pat and took Parsons?
No. They were taking Devonta Smith.
Really? Okay.
Oh, I know that for a fact, Ryan. They were taking Devonta.
Would you guys have done that?
What?
Would you guys have done that?
Yes, I would have taken Devonta Smith.
Well, now that I know what I got, I like what we got. I know that's easy to say because we got it. But if you gave me the option beforehand, we get a first and a fourth. And this kid?
Yeah.
Flip a coin for me, dude. I'm fine with
it. It's tough. That's a tough one. But and Gettleman, he's really – his job's on the line this year. You know, if this is a 5-6 win team, you know –
he's gone.
You can make the case he's done. So
he's gone.
You take Slater there, and you probably make this year's 2021 Giants a better team with Slater. And he decided to go – the best route for the franchise, the long-term route. I was joking. Like I said, I was a critic of Gettleman. I was watching the draft with my dad, and I was joking. I said, Dad, this new GM next year is going to have a haul of picks he's going to get the ground running next year.
Well, Ryan, if they win six games, you're right. You and your dad are going to be watching next year. Another general manager will be.
Yeah, I'll use those picks to trade up for a quarterback or something. But no, I'm being a cynic right now. So
that's good.
Got to be open-minded and I guess the one criticism you could say is he didn't draft an offensive lineman, but it's time for these guys that they draft. They drafted three of them last year, and they got to get better. They have an actual coaching staff now. I mean, you know, no one was getting better under Pat Shurmur. No one was getting better under Ben McAdoo. You know,
getting better under McAdoo, that's for sure.
Right. You know, they have guys now that, you know, we got a few draft picks, late-round draft picks, the linebackers, Coughlin and Cam Brown and Crowder.
Yep.
They all got better last year. Nick Gates got better. Leonard Williams got better. He finally played up to his potential. It's time. It's time. You know, if that's the route they want to take, then I'm all for it. So I'm on board. There's really no complaints.
What do you think about this Kadarius Toney kid, Ryan?
Well, you know, I know people are saying, they're going to use him, you know, and as a gadget type player. And you know, you don't draft a guy in the 20th pick overall. Just to use him as a gadget player. He's going to play. Unfortunately, it might take some snaps away from Shepard. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, the beneficiary from something like this, and with his contract and everything coming up, might be the guy who's his last man out at the end of the season. But you know, I would have taken line or Quiddy Pay at that point, you know, but I
thought it was Quiddy Pay too. Yeah.
With the trade. Yeah. You know, I thought he was the guy.
But when you get Ojulari in the second round, that was like, great. Geniuses. Right. Fine.
Right. So. And I would have been fine with him at 20 probably.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So really it's, I'm not going to sit here and nitpick. It was a great draft across the board, and kudos to Dave Gettleman. Do you think he's more of like, it feels like more of a team effort this year?
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
We were just talking about that, Ryan.
Yeah. It's,
you know, Joe Judge, it was a heavily influenced draft from Joe Judge, too.
Right. Yeah.
And Patrick Graham. And that. Ryan, it's that New England influence that's seeping into the building.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, Ryan, is not a bad thing, right, dude?
Yeah. You don't draft for need. You draft the best player available and figure it out from there.
All right, buddy. Listen, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it. We got 7 people in the queue waiting. Brian,
thank you, my man. Again,
nice job.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks, pal.
We'll see you next time.
Yep.
All right. We're gonna bring in a cousin, Chris, Dominic. He's got no cam, no mic. Let's see. Dominic Cagliano. There he is. Take off mute. And there he is.
Cagliano? Right. It's got to be Cagliano. Where the hell did you get Cagliano?
It's Cagliano.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you could tell this is an Ivy. Dominic, yeah. You could tell Jerry's from New Jersey. Cagliano. What the hell is that?
Dominic, anyway, what's up, guys, man? My question is, I'm thrilled about the draft. I thought it was great. I'm not trying to be negative at all. I'm just a little bit worried about guard. Do you do you foresee a free agent signing or a trade or something besides a UDFA?
Dominic, the most I could see right now at this stage of the game is a late cut by a team in August that a veteran, and they pick up a veteran, you know, and put him in there in September. Trade, no. Undrafted free agents, they picked up a few the other day. Good luck. I don't know nothing about them. We'll see if they pan out. You know, one's a center. Yeah. One's a tackle, you know. So, actually, a kid from Florida, the center, could play a little guard. And they actually kind of – a couple of people actually told me that he's not bad, this kid. But anyway, but Dominic, is it a concern? Hey, dude, we've been talking about before we went on – you know, me and Jerry were talking about before we started taking callers, man. That's the main concern, dude, the offensive line. We'll see how it's going to play out.
I mean, I wanted Slater badly. I was happy, thrilled, when Devontae Smith and Waddle were gone, thinking that might push him to take Slater.
Yeah.
But it didn't. I do think it was a good move, and I do think it's a better move than if they would have just taken Devontae Smith, because I think the Bears might be really bad next year. I think it could be a top.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be led by Dalton or a rookie quarterback. Right.
Yeah. So we should be fine at wide receiver anyway. So I don't think we needed Devontae Smith. And even if Shepard gets cut after next year, then Tony can be the slot. And with that Bears pick, they could pick a more important spot. But I'm just concerned about guard. Is there any chance of a Trey Turner signing?
You know what? Everybody keeps mentioning that, Dominic. Turner was not good last year, and that's Dave's guy from Carolina. And I haven't heard anybody, Dominic, say, hey, look, they might look into Trey Turner, which makes me believe they might think he's done. I'm not saying he is, Dominic. I'm just telling you, I haven't heard anything about them. Now, down the road, maybe they might bring him in, give him a look. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's possible, Dominic. But, you know, watching Trey last year, I didn't like him at all. He looked like he got old all of a sudden, but he might have a little ball left. I'm sure he does, Dominic, but I haven't heard anything about
it. I feel like we have a lot of depth at spots. I wish – I know it doesn't happen often in football, but I wish there was a way we could trade from our depth for a guard. Like, we have too many corners. We have
– we just talked about we don't have too many corners. I know what you mean. We love the corners we have, but I hear what you're saying. I know. We were just talking about it. Like, we're employing the – I don't know, quarter defense, not even dime.
Which is great. I'm sure that appoints guys will be hurt, and we'll be glad that we have that many. But in reality, if the offensive line doesn't work, there's no season. I mean, you can't block, you can't play. At least if we had an offensive lineman and we were giving up points, we could maybe hold up a little bit. I'm just a little worried about that spot, you know. So
Dominic, look, brother, all I could say is that it's definitely a concern, but it's not in the building. They're very confident. That's all I could say.
Really? So do they think that they can fix Shane Lemieux's pass blocking?
They feel Shane Lemieux will be good enough to give them quality snaps at guard. And Dominic, they feel Hernandez is going to come back and give them some things, and
do they think that Will Hernandez struggled last year because of COVID?
No. Obviously those few weeks he was out was because of COVID, but he didn't play a snap in the last game of the year, Dominic. It wasn't because of COVID. It was because they like Shane Lemieux that much better. But we'll see, dude. This is a different year coming
up. I wish they would have played Hernandez last year, because if they knew they were going to cut Zeitler, why not just play Hernandez and let him?
Well, I don't think they knew. I think they knew what they were going to do with Zeitler till after the season. I don't think they look at that stuff after the season.
Dominic.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good stuff, Dominic. Dominic,
thank you for calling in, buddy.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Anybody else waiting?
Oh yeah, dude, 9 guys.
All right, let's go to somebody else.
We're gonna go to Dan Simone. Right.
What's up, Dan?
Mute. You're on mute.
Hit the mute button. You got to unmute. Dan, you have to unmute. Corner.
There he goes.
I'm mute.
All right, now you're good.
All right, cool. What's up,
guys? Nice shirt you got there, buddy.
What kind of jersey is that, Dan? What is that?
This is just a sweatshirt. It's all retro, man.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be wearing this today, though, because, you know.
What did you get, a bowl of soup with that shirt? What the hell did you get that shirt from?
Nice, right? It's old school.
I thought it was the Devils they got first. What the hell was that?
Man. Okay. All day.
Nice.
Sad about those guys, but. Here to talk a little Giants.
Yeah,
what's up?
What do you got?
What's on your mind?
Just wanted to say also, I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years now. I think you do the best Giant podcast. And
oh, thanks, man.
Of any platform I listen to, for sure.
Appreciate that.
So I had a couple of questions. Maybe go one real quick. I saw Chris tweeted something about Tony. If anyone said, I don't want to quote you, but it said, if you say
any jackass, if any jackass calls him a gadget play, yeah, I'll say it.
Yeah, I don't know if someone asked that question right, but I was just curious because I listened to a lot of the Giants Huddle podcasts off the Giants app, and they just rave about, oh, Tony's a gadget player. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Is that Paul Dottino and all them?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Now Paul's not saying he's just a gadget kid. What Paul means by that?
He called him a G kid.
What?
He called him a G kid, his own lingo for gadget only.
What Paul means by that is that the kid could do so many things. Right. What other people were saying when he was drafted was, he can really only do some jets, and he could just do line up in a backfield. He could do some bubble screens. He's that type of receiver, which is bullshit, okay? If you watch him, like I've seen him in Florida, and you go watch his film, okay? The kid could ISO outside. He could play the X. He could play the slot, okay? You could line him up all over. Paul Dottino means that in a positive way. He means you could do so many things with the kid. That's why he says he's a G guy. Other people have called him a guy in a negative way, saying, oh, he can't run. He can't run a 15-yard dig. He can't do that. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, the kid could do it all. Trust me. Okay. His route tree expanded last year with Florida. He's going to have a nice little route tree with the Giants. And, Dan, he could do a ton of gadget stuff like that. You could line him up in the backfield. You could do jet sweeps. The kid was a high school quarterback. You could even have him throw the ball if you want to get fancy, if Gary wants to do some stuff like that.
I hope they use him like that. I don't use like a lot of comparisons, but they were comparing him to, you know, Percy Harvin and all these other guys that run that same similar scheme, have that similar type of player.
I get that comparison. More, they both played at Florida, which is an easy one. But no, I get that. That comparison
he's a
makes sense.
Guy, he's
yeah.
Fast,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. Catch. He's more than like Cordell Patterson. He's way more than that. So.
And one other question about the defense, and then I'll let you guys go because I know you got a whole bunch of other people calling in. But so in 2016. That we had a good defense, and then jumping into 2017, I don't remember what we ranked. Had to be bottom 25, maybe lower than that. So last year we had a good defense. I was wondering, how do we prevent it? But do you think that next year the defense is going to slump at all, just like they did between 16 and 17? Because like the personnel wasn't that different. I remember in 16 they had like Landon Collins and all those guys.
Yeah, but
Jack Rabbit.
It was Eli Apple at one side. That was a volatile team, right? Like you had Eli Apple who was terrible. Landon Collins took a huge step down, right? So in 15 he was nothing like he was in 16. In 16 he probably should have won Defensive Player of the Year. But they gave it to Khalil Mack because you really have to have 2 good years before you do that. Like Collins was that good in 16. People forget how good he was. But you know, Olivier Vernon, he was, you know, he was the kind of guy that he had a good year in 16, but he slumped in 17. He was hurt for a while. I don't see that happening. I think they've added so much this year. I think that's one of the things to prevent it. Plus, you have a lot more faith in Patrick Graham, right? I mean, Spagnuolo was fine, but the talent on this defense, we talk about it before that we start taking calls. What they've added, we're just so happy with. So I think that will guard against it as well. I mean, you have 11 guys, it seems like, in the defensive backfield that can play. It's crazy. So
yeah, I'm excited about them. I just don't want another big slump coming from Bradberry or Martinez, but I don't think they're that type of guys. I think they're going to have a stronger year this year than last year.
You know what? You know what, Dan? You got to have so much faith in Patrick Graham, man. I mean, I really like everything he does, and you know, and his young talent in here too. And I wouldn't expect that. You know, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying it's a different feel in 2017. Put it that way. You know, a lot of young, and he just brought some more young kids in. Throw that with Graham, you know, and I expect the defense to be even better.
Cool.
All right, Dan. Where are you calling in from, by the way?
Highlands, New Jersey.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There you go, Atlantic Highlands.
Yeah. Highlands, New Jersey. Okay, Highlands.
Nice.
You could give that jersey back to the homeless shelter.
We're proud, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you
later. Who's these guys one by one? Let's try. This guy's been on hold a while. Danny Krause. He's muted as well.
Hey, there we go. Guys, can you hear me?
Danny, how did you unmute so fast? What's the button you hit?
So right under your face, Jerry, there's a couple of buttons. One says screen, one says mute. One says mic, one says speaker, and one says camera.
All right, we'll pass that on to everybody. Thanks, pal. Nice hat, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. First time, long time, guys. Love the podcast.
Nice, man.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks.
Two questions for you. One, what's your level of confidence that Jason Garrett can use Tony in the right ways? I've heard a lot of, you know, he could be an Alvin Kamara type, which sounds great on paper, but can Garrett put that into practice?
Yeah, I think Garrett will use it. I think Garrett will know how to use him. Right? I know a lot of people are down on Garrett, but Garrett will find a way to get him out there. And look, is he going to do different things with him? Yeah, because the kid could line up in a backfield. He's not going to be a Kamara, I mean, but he'll line up in a backfield at times. But he'll get him out in a slot, and he's going to do a lot of end of rounds, jets, and all that stuff with him because the kid is – I don't know if you've seen him, but the kid puts his foot in the ground, Danny, and he is gone, bro. He's very impressive speed-wise and his balance and his physicality out there, too. You know, he's a good yak guy. But Garrett, well, look, that's going to be up to Jason to get him in all these different packages. And, you know, and that's going to be his job because you got to get the ball in this kid's hands. Do you remember Percy Harvin? Like, yep. He's being compared to Percy, right, Danny? You remember how many times they used to try to get the ball in Percy's hands? It could be little bubble screens, right?
Yeah, manufacture touches for him. Which
right. Manufacture touches. Exactly. And that's what Jason's going to have to do. And that's, you know, I know a lot of people don't have confidence in him, but right now I do. I think Jason will do enough to get the ball in his kid's hands.
Okay. Great. And then the second question, and it's kind of a good problem to have. I think you guys touched on it a little earlier, but you can never have too many corners in this league. But if you take injuries out of the equation, hopefully they can stay healthy. How do you get all these guys on the field at the same time? I mean, even if you start in a base nickel, you know, Logan Ryan's your nickel guy, you have Holmes, Love, and Robinson on the bench.
Yeah. Dollar defense. I don't know. It's going to be creative.
There's going to be some inactives on game days, Danny, that might be like, oh man, you know, it's not, you know what I mean? So they're going to have to settle out in training camp. But you might see it, Donnie Holmes, and you know, even with Donnie Holmes, I know he showed things in his rookie year, but he's going to have to, you know, battle to win a spot on his roster. You know what I mean? Especially to be active on a game day, man, because right now there's a lot of kids. But you know what? Let the Robinson kid play. Let's see how he looks in this. Now let's see if he could hold his own in year one. You know, because Donnie Holmes did show things last year, Donnie Holmes, you know. And you got to remember, too, they use so many packages, Graham. They'll use X in a slot a lot, you know. They'll use Pep in a slot. Pep will be a hybrid linebacker, you know, McKinney. So Logan will line up in that slot. So there's so many different things. But I understand a lot of people have asked, how are you going to get all these kids out there? Well, it's going to be the best five or six, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Game day, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we were saying it before, like you really have eight, and Julian Love might be the eighth, which is crazy. That's how talented they are. You know, you have Darnay Holmes and this kid Robinson are going to battle it for the slot. And then you got the three big safeties, the two outside corners, and that's it. Then Robinson and Love. It's insane. So it's a nice problem to have. We'll see what they do. I'm sure they're going to get creative. So
great. Well, I'll let you guys get to other calls. Appreciate the time.
Right, Danny, thank you.
Danny, thanks for chiming in, pal. Appreciate it. Steve. Okay. Under my face, Steve, there's a microphone. They say, click that little microphone and you'll be unmuted.
Yes, sir.
There it is.
Yes, sir.
Love the thank background. You for that. Yes. The background, buddy.
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
Good, man.
Good, good, good. Hey, man, just wanted to say thanks for everything that you guys do for all of us to talk us off the ledge a lot of times. I do appreciate it. Definitely original buffoon crew. I got my little from the original.
Good stuff, man.
Right there. But good stuff. Yeah, so Chris, I was the one that tweeted at you. We need to get you – I don't know if you found out yet, but we need to get you that GoFundMe page for – for the drone for a rookie mini camp, because if you can't go, we're gonna need to figure out something to happen.
Yeah, from what I understand, Steve. Sorry, I do remember that tweet now. Yeah, that was pretty good. From what I understand, yeah, we're not gonna be involved. We're not gonna be there for that rookie mini camp. That's what I'm hearing right now. So yeah, I'm gonna have to rely on my intel on the ground. But I wish I was there, buddy. We'll see, though. Right now, it's not looking good.
No, I hear you. Hey, my question today is, I feel like some people are talking about it on the call-ins is the Bears schedule. And I understand every year Chris is huge on saying, you know, every year, every team is different, and I get it, you know? But when you look at that schedule, honestly, and Rodgers stops being a prima donna and stays in Green Bay, which is great for us. If he ends up doing that, when you look at that schedule deep down and do a deep dive, I mean, if those teams don't change, I mean, that could easily be a top three pick.
Yeah.
So my question is, again, I know Chris, you hate hypotheticals, but if you're looking at that as a top three pick, do we do something possibly like the Jets? If DJ plays average, let's just say, and that pick is a top three, do we go in another direction and start our clock again? With Judge's, I guess, quote unquote guy, or do we just literally sell that pick and just get a buttload for it and set up our franchise for years to come? Like, what do you guys think that Judge would do in that situation?
Well, Steve, you know, we talked about it a lot. If Jones doesn't progress this year, if he takes a step back and they go 5-12 or something like that, he's gone.
Yeah.
If Jones doesn't progress, they're going to be starting over. So I don't know what quarterbacks are coming out, any highly rated kids. I really don't even know yet, you know?
Right.
But is there a big, from what I understand, there's a couple of big time edge kids coming out. I could be wrong in that, Steve, but that's what I read. Jeremy, did you hear anything about a couple of big-time edge kids supposedly coming out next year?
Yeah, and they, you know, just the fact that they're going to they have a lot more intelligence next year, too. That's why that pick was worth so much to them. But, Steve, you bring up a good point. It almost gives them an insurance policy, right? Like, even if the Bears finish, like, halfway through, right, then you have a 15 and whatever the Giants finish, they could move up, right? They want Jones to do well. Judge wants Jones to do well. But if he doesn't, this is definitely something, right? It's a good point.
Right. I mean, yeah. And I just look at exactly what the Jets did. And yeah. Judge can say all he wants. I mean, that's technically not his guy.
Yeah.
You know, he inherited him. Jones wasn't going anywhere no matter what Judge. And I could probably guess that was talked about in their interview process.
Yeah.
Like, look, Jones isn't going anywhere. Like, he's staying at least for a little bit.
Right.
I don't know. And like you said, I mean, who knows? But, you know, Zach Wilson, nobody knew about him.
Yeah, right.
Really, before the season started.
Yeah.
And he came on, you know, so strong. And I just started thinking, and trust me, I'm a diehard Jones fan. I'm wearing his jersey. You know, I believe in him. But, you know, if they go 8-8, well, not now, 8-9, whatever the stupid schedule is now. But, you know, if he goes average, you know, do they move on? And they just say, hey, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah, listen, if he's average, they're going to definitely be looking to move on. He doesn't. Okay. This is year three, Steve.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not waiting 5 years for this freaking guy. You know, this is year three.
Especially when rookie quarterbacks now are like stars in year two.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is year three, brother. You know, if he doesn't show progress, if he's still making the same mistake, if he's a turnover, big time turnover season, stuff like that, hey, they got that high pick, man, to look
for. If you had to put a number on it, what would the record be for him to stay? The lowest.
It's going to be record and performance too, though. That's going to be so tied to performance. True. Like if he has a great year and they don't have a good record, then it's not going to matter as much. It's gonna be, you got to come into the 21st century in the passing game. You can't have 11 touchdowns and 8 picks. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Because they could finish like 10-7, and like 7 of those wins could have been a defense. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to evaluate the whole picture at the end of the year, man. But they do have that high pick. I mean, like you said, you know, the Bears are probably going to go with Justin Fields. Even if they start with Dalton, you figure Fields is in there by the third or fourth game. You know?
And they just lost their left tackle.
They just released Charles Leno. Yeah, you know, they just released him. So they, you know, right now they're looking at a, you know, 5-win season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They should struggle, you know, with the kid quarterback coming in and all that. So that's going to be a high pick for the Giants. And like we just talked about, if Jones does not have a good year, brother, that's the insurance right there. Now you can start looking at that future quarterback, you know. So we hope it's not at that point. We hope that the Giants, Jones plays well. The Giants could definitely win this division if the offensive line plays well. There's no question about it. That's the only thing in my eyes, Steve, that could hold up this team is that offensive line. And then you're looking at a playoff pick, hopefully, and then you could have a top 5-6 pick that you could use on a monster offensive lineman or a edge guy or whatever. That's the game plan, Steve, right there, you know?
Yeah, and last thing real quick, sorry, I just wanted to bring up, is anybody else loving the fact that Brady talks about losing that Super Bowl and he would trade everything to go 19-0?
Saw that. That was
I funny, absolutely huh? love it to know the fact that it's going to bother him for the rest of his life. Like, that is fantastic.
And Eli Manning tweeted, nope. Like,
yes. No, no, he so tweeted funny. Never.
Never. Never. Nice. That's good stuff.
That's the competitor Brady is. That's, you know, when you have, like, you know, if you talk to Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
Steve, he'll, you know, obviously he's won 6 titles and all that, but I guarantee if you talk to Michael, hey, Mike, what sticks in your, he'll name some loss.
Yeah.
Regular season loss or whatever the hell it might be. That, you know, that's the way those athletes are. That's the way they are. They could win 100 Super Bowls. In Brady's case, could win 10. He'll talk about the Manning loss for the rest of his life. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's great, but it's all fun. It's all fun. Eli has fun with Tom about that stuff.
Right.
And it is great, Steve, that he never did get that perfect record, right? That the Giants were the ones that ruined it, because you know that sticks in Tom's craw.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Absolutely love it.
By the way, I see, was that Tyree on your wall there?
Yeah, I got it custom made. That's why I hate them so much. And it says The Catch.
Right.
Nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever met David. Have you ever met David, Steve?
I have not. I heard he's a really good dude, though.
Well, I got to know him because he was with the Giants organization, you know, and I talked to him a lot in the locker room and stuff like that. He was always around the building. He's a class guy. What a good dude, bro. A really good guy. So hate to see him leave, but I see you're a big fan of his, and just something you might want to know, that he really is a really class guy.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Good stuff, Steve. Good Thanks, buddy.
Good stuff, brother.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? We have a lot of you in the queue. If you can hold it to one question, if you don't mind, that we can get some people in, because we had we have some editing to do anyway. We're about an hour in, so we'll try to go like 5 more minutes. Connell.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. What's going on, bud?
They got the magical mute button.
Is this Quinn Frazier? Look at this guy.
I am watching the Yankees. They just blew a 3-0 or 3-1 lead.
Of course.
Anyway.
Of course
they did. Steve just took my question. That was a good one. But I'll shift it back to a more philosophical approach. So with drafting, in your opinion, I totally understand the idea of best player available, and the best teams always do it. It makes plenty of sense. But at what point can you just rationalize taking a flyer, especially in a draft like this where, you know, the tape is now the quality of the player necessarily. It's not really public information. Like, in the 5th and 6th round, explain to me why there's no reason for the Giants – to take an absolute flyer and a chance on a guard or a tackle.
I
know for sure there's no chance in hell they have tape on like the running back they got. You know what I mean? Or obviously they have tape, but not like, you know, substantial 2019-esque tape, right?
Yeah.
So philosophically, where's the logic that they're saying that their board doesn't match up? Like, is that just smoke and mirrors? Did it really not match up? Or like, you know, Chris, you're in the room, obviously, Jerry. I'd love to hear your opinion, but you tell me.
The value to the pick. That's what Gettleman always says. And they had that value to that pick in the 6th round. Look, Connell, how do you say your name? Connell?
Yep, Connell.
Connell, I agree with you 100%, brother.
Yeah.
I would have taken a flyer on Trey Smith.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the Chiefs got him at 6. And if that kid turns out to be something, I'd be freaking pissed, brother.
Because hey, reaching the choir.
I agree. I mean, you're in the 5th round, you're in the 6th round, 2 sixes and all that. Why are we not taking offensive linemen? Like you said, one of those guys, take somebody, but they look at it as a value to the pick. And if they had the kid up there to run back to that value at that spot. And, yeah. It's a little frustrating, dude. And I agree. We talked about it before we started taking calls that, you know, how do you not take one offensive lineman here later on? You know what I mean? Just get somebody in this building. You know what I mean?
Staying true to the board, I guess. Right. And we said the same thing, like
true to the board and their value.
Fourth round was kind of the round I thought, all right, here we go. Let's get a guard, and never happened. So it's a good question, Colin. We all agree. So
yeah. I agree with you, Colin. I agree with you, brother.
All right. Good stuff, boys. Hopefully I'll see you at a game this year. And also get going on that golf outing. What are we doing here?
The pandemic. Once it's all done, then, you know, people are still going to be a little apprehensive, I think. I think it's a great idea.
It's a phenomenal idea. I have tons of buddies that want to do it. So
yeah. Do you? Where are you calling from, Colin?
I'm living in Brooklyn right now, but from Westchester originally.
Oh boy. Here we go.
Park Slope.
You're moving to Park Slope?
No, I'm in Brooklyn right now, but from Westchester originally. Right now. Yep, in Park Slope right now, but grew up in Pelham in Westchester.
Good for you, brother.
Yeah.
Well, I've been out of Brooklyn a while, but last time Park Slope, I was in Park Slope, you needed a tank to get through there. You know what I mean? But obviously, I know Park Slope is now prime real estate, huh?
Yeah, no, we love it. Ironically enough, actually, I tweeted at you guys in September, my buddy Eddie did, who Jared, you know, from TR. And me and my wife were getting married during the pandemic. And you two said, nope, elope, head out to Vegas. You'll have a better time there.
Yeah.
We had the wedding, we had a great time. But no, I appreciate you guys. You're the best.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. All right, have a good one, guys. Later. All right, Chris. I think we have under my face, Jim, is a mute button or a microphone. Click it. Yes.
There you go, Jim.
Yes.
Did I get it?
Yes. Guys, it's not Carl Banks, but it is close. It's royalty. It's an Emmy-nominated news guy.
All right. Well, thanks for the kind words. I don't touch Carl Banks as far as Giants royalty, but thanks. I'm going to keep this short because I know we want to try to get Carl back on. But just want to say, number one, congratulations for the success of the podcast and the newspaper. If you don't subscribe, if you're listening, if you don't subscribe, please subscribe.
Jeez, Jim.
Second of all, well, I'm just supporting my family friend. Buddy.
Appreciate
very
it.
Forward. And, you know, I just wanted to say, as far as the draft, I am so glad that we took Tony. I'm glad we took a receiver. I'm glad that Joe Judge had the wherewithal to kind of shape this draft. You know what I mean? Like I'm seeing all the beat writers saying that Joe Judge's voice is getting louder and louder behind closed doors in 1925 Giants Drive. And I thought it was so important that Daniel Jones get another weapon this offseason, and, you know, in addition to Galladay. And that's what we did. You know, I know I read somewhere, I want to give the writer credit, but I forget who it was. We were looking to take that guard out of USC.
Yeah.
ABT.
Yeah.
Right. And ended up trading back, which was obviously the best possible choice. And, you know, I just want to say, as a Giants fan, I was proud that night. And I wasn't so happy when the Eagles jumped us, but, you know, it is what it is. And we ended up getting, in my opinion, a far better value beyond what I will admit as a common fan that I thought was possible.
Yeah. He turned. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, Jim, the Giants weren't happy either when the Eagles jumped them. You know, they were ready to draft Devonta. You know, but you have to give credit because Dave Gettleman seized the opportunity.
Yeah.
When Smith was off the board to get that pick, and this is exactly I just wrote an article about it, Jim, and you'll see it. But what happened was that the Bears, you know, he calls Ryan Pace to the Bears about moving up, and Pace makes an offer. They go back and forth quick, and they tell Ryan Pace, you got to give us a one. If you want your guy, you got to give us a one. And the Bears gave him that one because that's what happens when teams get desperate when they want that franchise quarterback, Jim. You know what I mean? So they gave him that one, you know, and they moved down, as you know. And they were pretty confident Tony was going to be there, but not 100% confident, you know. So it worked out for them. Big time, but you have to credit Gettleman. He seized the opportunity after they lost Smith, got that receiver, and that 2022 number one, which right now, Jim, looks like it's going to be a high pick. You know, I, you know, you never know how this season's going to go, but right now that could be a very high pick. So great job at Gettleman, yeah. Man. Great job,
yeah.
By Dave.
Yeah, no, and I'm already trying to look at the class of 2022 NFL draft and 2022 mock drafts to see like who we can get, you know. And you know, my attitude is, even if the Bears go on to win the Super Bowl or go deep in the playoffs, it's still a first round pick that we didn't have before.
Yep,
that's my attitude.
Jim, appreciate the call in, buddy. All right, let's try Kyle.
Is Kyle Johnson?
Oh, it might be. Oh, Chris, good call. I hope so.
I know Kyle's going to try.
I feel like he's going to yell at us.
I can't wait to see this guy.
And he's using it says he's using a mobile device.
Kyle, using a mobile device. If you
between
can hear
Carl Banks and Kyle Johnson using mobile devices.
Oh,
God.
Kyle, you got to be at the laptop. Google Chrome. Oh, I wanted to see Kyle so
bad. So I disconnect. Okay. He's going to get so pissed. All right, let's try Kevin. Another. Guys. God, he can't be using mobile devices. It just doesn't work. All right, let's try Jimmy. All right, Jimmy looks like he's in front of a computer. Under Jimmy, my face. There we go. Unmuted. Can't hear him now.
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we go.
All right, now we got you, brother.
Nice to talk to you guys again.
Hey, Jimmy.
I'm gonna keep this quick because I know you guys got other callers, but night of the draft, obviously, Waddle went six, and as soon as Waddle went six, I kind of had a feeling that night that it was going to be between Smith and Waddle, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, J.C. Horn went, you know, Patrick Surtain went after that. I'm like, okay, thank God, you know, the Cowboys are going to get that lockdown corner. And then, obviously, the trade with the Eagles and Cowboys. Yeah. But do you think that happens if the Giants aren't before the Eagles? Do you think that the Cowboys still do the trade down? Because I was thinking that my initial thought was Dallas doesn't want the Giants to get Smith. You don't think that's what it was? You think it was just they would have just traded either, like, if any other team out of the division was there?
The corners were gone. That was why they moved. They still got to face Devontae Smith twice a year now, right? So mm-hmm. If it was a team other than the Eagles, I think he might have a point. But because it was the Eagles, I just think they wanted a corner. They moved down to see what they could get. They knew the Giants, you know, the Giants were going to trade with them, I guess. So, or they didn't even reach out. I think it's more because of the corners, dude. I don't think they cared about him playing for the Giants because they still got to play them twice a year.
All right, ahead, Chris.
Jimmy, when Patrick Surtain was taken by the Broncos at nine, that threw the monkey wrench in the whole deal.
Yep.
Everything got turned around after that.
Yep.
Dallas was going to draft him, and there would have been no trade up. They were going to take Surtain, and the Giants would have taken Devonta Smith. But it changed when Denver went with Patrick Surtain.
I'm glad I got that cleared up because I was thinking right away, like, oh, Dallas, you know, knows that we have already, you know, an arsenal of weapons. And he's like, oh, God, we don't want to get, you know, one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the draft. I know Ja'Marr Chase and Waddle went beforehand, but, you know, still one of the best receivers.
Yeah, they still got to see him twice a year anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not going to, you know, their changes, their plans changed dramatically when Surtain got drafted at nine.
I'm glad we were still able to get Tony. I know he's the human joystick. I don't know why all the Giants fans were so miserable on draft. And I'm thinking, like, did you guys not watch?
Well, because his name wasn't right. Really mentioned. That's why it was Smith, Waddle, and Chase, and we weren't getting Chase. It was really Waddle and Smith. That's the only reason, I think. And then once you saw this kid, you're like, oh, wait, why wasn't he ranked higher? So he had some off the field issues, had an injury. So that's just it. So.
And I'm happy with the pick. I'm glad that we got the first two. And you know, obviously, I was the kid from the Chicago area, and me and my dad were watching the draft, and we're screaming, we're like, oh my God, like the Giants and the Bears, you know, got a deal together. So I root for the Bears because of my dad. But now I'm kind of hoping like they don't really have a successful year to get the Giants that pick.
0-17, you want them to go now?
Right. Yeah, I'll have to root against them maybe. But thank you for the calls, and I'll let you guys try to get some other callers.
Hi, right, Jimmy. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
I never thought we'd have a problem, Chris, where we have too many people calling in. That's, you know, but where I have to tell people, hold it to one question, please. There it is.
With all these Zoom calls and all this time we spend on screen, I'd have the basics handled. Right, guys?
What's up, man?
My boy,
Booker. Names and faces, fellas. What's going on?
Yo, my man, what's up?
Nice to finally
all
meet
good,
you.
All good, baby. All good. Nice greetings from Atlanta.
Nice.
I'm going to jump right into it, guys. You know, we can talk about the draft and all these moving pieces, and it's a worthwhile conversation, but I think we could, you know, look at A, you know, whether Tony is a stud or an average player. You've got tremendous equity and value in the acquisition. I don't think right. we have to litigate that.
Yep.
My question relates to the structure and the development of the team, right? And my question is, you know, in the opening press conference, really where Joe Judge lays out his vision statement for the entire team, he says, I want a team with a hard-nosed mentality, with relentlessness.
Yeah.
And my question to you guys, and specifically to Chris and Jerry, you'll have your perspective as well, is how far are we from the vision that Joe Judge articulated his first day at the podium? He seemed very stern, very clear. And I'm from you know my perspective, which is well removed, I hope there's some alignment with his vision. I think there's this council of, you know, what, 50,000 coaches that are all around the table. Where are we based upon our talent, what's being articulated to the coaches, and who Joe Judge really wants us to be? I could get into the draft minutiae and all this other stuff, first, fifth, sixth, what have you, but I'm really interested in the overall direction of the team based upon what you guys have seen and have heard. And guys, keep rocking it out. You guys, you know, have been phenomenal throughout. You're our go-to. On behalf of the guys who are outside of the tri-state area, we can't thank you enough for the coverage you guys provide day in and day out. Back over to you guys.
Well, Booker, thank you, man. I think you saw last year, right, Booker, the progress of this team. That they're starting to reflect their head coach. Okay. No excuses. Hard nosed. Okay. And they brought guys in free agency like that. Either last year with Logan, this year with Adoree, the Blake Martinez's, all that stuff. And now you see this kid Tony, right? You see this kid Kadarius. And Judge met him. They all met him. They sat down and the whole deal. And one thing that Kadarius Tony is all about football. He's all business, Booker. I don't know the answer to that one. I don't know why my phone's going off. He's all business. And one thing I really did notice about Kadarius that I liked, and this is what Joe Judge likes, this is what Belichick liked up in New England and all that. This kid will run through a wall to win a game. He's all football, Booker. You know what I mean? Watch him on the field, and then when they talk to kids in that locker room who play for the Gators, and they talk to coaches, the Jeremy Pruitts, all that, right? They all said the same thing. This kid is all about football, okay?
And I can echo that based upon the DM I sent you guys. You know, right. I don't know if he's going to be an immaculate route runner. I don't know if this guy is going to be super polished. But if you look at his yards after contact and his willingness to throw his body at the game, I can live with that. You can teach a lot of those other things, but you know, unrelenting hustle. I think that's really wrapped up. I see a lot of that in Tony.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember 2 years ago when Darius Slayton came into camp? What was one of the two? Well, there was two knocks on him. One was that he couldn't catch the ball. He had problems with his hands. Remember that? Yeah. Do you remember the other? Do you remember the other knock on him?
No, I don't.
Route running?
He had a route tree. Oh, he did. He basically
That's
ran.
Right.
He basically was a vertical guy.
He just
guy
is a fly route. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that I do get.
He was a deep post guy at Auburn. Remember Booker? He can't run. He can't run no friggin' routes. He can't do big. He can't do comebacks. Remember the whole deal? So see him in camp, right, Booker? I see him in camp. Well, 2 years ago, I was there at rookie camp. I was there at the OTAs, then the mandatory, and then obviously camp, right? So – and I'm watching him, right, Booker? And I'm saying to myself, where the hell is this coming from? He doesn't have a route tree, you know? And I see him running these, 15-yard digs, and I see him running his comeback, you know? And I'm like, and I see him running these nine routes, and I'm like, where the hell is this coming, you know? And I talked to Darius one day on the side. I said, Darius, I got to ask you, my man. I said, you got a little bit of a reputation of not having a route tree. And he goes, well, I don't know where the hell everybody got that from. You know, he goes, that's what I had to do a lot in Auburn. So you just brought up about Kadarius and his, well, he's got to work on some routes. Yeah, and he does. He's not the smoothest route running yet. But you know what, Booker? I've seen a lot of receivers, brother, that came into this league and they were very sloppy in route running until they got to this league. So you know what? My boy Tyke Talbot, the receiver coach, okay? They'll get on him from day one. He'll start getting these routes down. And have you seen a lot of Kadarius at Florida, Booker? You see a lot of him? Did you see him at all? Did you see him on film?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of his film. I watched some of the All 22. Right. I looked at, you know, one of the things that he hasn't been amped up about enough is his contributions in special teams. He's an animal in special teams.
Yes.
And he can actually block really well. If you look at some of his footage,
yes,
he blocks really, really well downfield and has got a heart for the team. So I'm buying what they're selling.
So just a quick story, Booker. So somebody's telling me recently when they were looking at Kadarius on film, Gettleman, Pettit, Judge, all of them, right? There was two plays last year for Florida. I forget which game it was, but he's running around the end, and he could easily go out of bounds at like the 7-yard line. Right, Booker?
Yep.
He lowered his shoulder, stayed in bounds, and got it, and took on a defender and got into the end zone. And somebody just told me the story, like yesterday morning. And Judge looked at it, and they jumped out of their chair. They were like, look at the balls on this kid. Look at this kid. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you what they said. Somebody told me what they said. You know what I mean? They were like, look at this kid. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's a gamer, Booker. Joe Judge wants gamers. He wants kids that do nothing but eat, breathe, and drink football. And you see that. Even the veterans, Booker. Look, I know Pepis for the locker room. Pepis is all business.
Yeah.
Logan Ryan is all business.
Now, you said Peppers handles losing the worst, right?
Peppers, after the loss, I stay clear of him. I used to be like, yo, Pep, you got a second? I was afraid the guy was going to knock me out because he was that intense coming out of the shower after a loss. These are the guys they're bringing in here, Booker. I think you saw a lot of that last year, right? I think you're going to see more of that. They're taking on the persona of Joe Judge, dude. And that's something that's something you should be happy about, brother. What do you do, Booker? Are you a lawyer?
I'm not a lawyer, man. I actually
you talk work. Like one, brother.
like a radio voice.
I heard you mention litigate. I'm like, this guy's got to be a lawyer.
Or you should have like a podcast, dude. Your voice, my God.
I work in the healthcare space, fellas, and podcasting is something I'll do in my spare time. But you guys have been phenomenal. I can't thank you enough. My job requires me to work a long amount of time. I actually am serving in the COVID response. I will get into details about the 9-to-5, but there's nothing like unwinding after a long day. And I do mean a long day, like millions of other folks, and being able to kind of detach from the rest of the world and just dig into some Giants football. So you guys provide a great fan service. You also provide a great personal service. So salute to you fellas. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, really.
All you have done. We're just football people. You're the real heroes out there, you know, that took on this virus and all that. So thank you for everything you've done, my man.
Absolutely.
You guys have a great one.
Take care, Booker.
Take care, guys.
Dude, we're an hour and 21 in. Do you want to go one more?
One more. Let's do one more. Call's basically done. He says he just can't get through.
All right. He can't get through. Oh, we got to – I got to do Agent X. Agent X.
Am I on? Can you hear me?
What's up,
Agent
man?
Agent X.
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you very much for – it's backwards. I don't know if you can see that, but that's a Buffoon Crew bumper sticker.
There it is.
You guys gave me like 6 or 7 months ago. Thank you very much for that.
Excellent.
First off, I want to thank you guys. I've been listening to you since you started your podcast, and this is such a great forum and medium to be able to talk back and forth like this and be able to share this moment with you guys. So thank you for putting this on. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Sure.
I want to kind of take Jerry back to the moment that Daniel Jones was drafted.
Yes.
As he was walking along in the rain, in the over the bridge.
Yes.
And I want you to kind of recapture that feeling. Because eventually, and actually pretty, I think the next day you turned the switch and you were able to become a Giants fan and support him. And however, I've been noticing there's been this like certain portion of the Giants fan base that actually and actively wants to see the guy fail.
Yeah.
And it's a mentality that is, I don't remember this being, or a target being on a Giant in the history that I've been a fan since '84. I mean, I remember people bitching about Sims, and I remember, you know, people complaining about Eli, and, you know, but I've never seen, and obviously I'm talking about social media, but I've never seen a target like this placed on a quarterback. And I don't know where this is coming from. And I just wanted to see if you had any ideas. Is this just a bunch of people in their basements that have nothing better to do? Or is this coming from something?
No, it's just people want to be proved right, right? They want to be proven right. They want to say, I was right all along. And even if it means I'm going to almost root against the guy if he's on my team, being right is more important, right? And that's why, like you said, the next day, I still didn't like the pick, but you just, hey, look, he's our quarterback now. We support him. It's like even Evan Ingram, right? Like, I want to get rid of Evan Ingram, but if he turns it on this year, I'm ecstatic. I hope he catches 1,500 or 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. I don't care. But I just think people have huge egos and they have an axe to grind, and that social media gives them a platform to kind of spew some venom. And look, same way with Gettleman. I think Daniel Jones, Gettleman, and Eli Manning would probably be the top three. And I don't know if that's because social media is so big now, but like you said, back in the day, man, I don't know who. I can't think of one player that approaches or a person in the organization that approaches anything close to what Daniel Jones, Dave Gettleman, and Eli Manning have gone through.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally, yeah, that's truth.
I think a lot of that is the anti-Gettleman crowd too. They connect to Gettleman and Jones, and they want to see Jones fail because that'll make Gettleman fail.
Yeah, good point.
They're with Dave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is it about Dave Gettleman that really peeves people off, though? I think he's a cool guy.
Well, he came in and he got rid of guys right away. He traded JPP, which people weren't happy about. He traded Odell, which people were nuclear about.
People flipped over that.
He stayed with Eli Manning. That was people were pissed about that. He drafted a running back second. Like, he's done things where people have been against. So there's been four or five things when you put them all together. If you were against all those things, all of a sudden you hate Gettleman. I like the Barkley pick. Trading JPP wasn't the best move. I agreed with trading OBJ. We've talked about it. So he's done a lot of things. And he, you know, when he gets up in front of the press, not so much this year, but we've talked about it before, he gets in front of the press, it's almost like he kind of runs. It's almost like he goes out there like, why are you even having this press conference? Like, guys, don't you trust me? So it's the attitude as well, I think. So, but
yeah, that whole we didn't sign Odell to trade him.
Yeah,
that started an agent exit, man. A lot of people after that hated him and still hate him because of Odell. You know?
Yeah. I mean, what is this? This is his fourth year as a GM, yeah. And a lot of people can. I mean, it's arguable that we're not really a better team since when he took the general manager. Now, I believe that we're a better team, and I believe that we're going to the right direction. But I think, honestly, I think that's, as much as I like Dave Gettleman, I really think that has more to do with the attitude that Judge is bringing to the team. I think that, like you said, people are buying into his behavior, his culture. Sure. But I mean, David Gettleman, like Parcells says, like, you know, with the whole groceries, you know, what was the thing that he said?
If you want to let me cook the meal, you got to let me buy the groceries.
Right. Right. So he's getting the groceries. I feel like he's getting good groceries, you know, but whatever.
Agent X, what cures everything?
Winning.
That's it, brother. The Giants go 11-5. This new schedule, I keep forgetting. They go 11-6.
It's so weird. It's so stupid. Right? It's so weird.
They go 11-6 and the NFC's champions, or 10-7 NFC's champions, and they win a home playoff game. Guess what? Nobody's going to be saying about Gettleman.
Yeah.
Winning cures all, brother. You know, that's, you got to hope for happen.
We better beat the Eagles. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Look at me. Agent X, you ready? You heard it here May 4th from me.
Okay.
They will beat the Eagles twice this year. I'm guaranteeing you. Twice.
Mm. Yes. Yes. I'm right
now. Where are you calling in from?
So I'm calling in from Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. Okay. But since you guys have started the podcast, I've lived all over, from California, Denver, Colorado. I'm originally from Jersey, though.
Where? Not a fugitive, are you?
What's that? No.
A fugitive, are you?
No. I'm in.
Agent X All over? You got to be a little concerned here, buddy.
So I'm in the death care industry.
No, where are you from in Jersey?
Oh, I'm originally from Morristown.
Oh, okay. North Jersey. Nice.
North Jersey. North there Jersey.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for pulling in there, my man.
Hey, thank you again, guys. I appreciate it. I can't wait for the next episode.
All right, buddy.
Oh, thank you, man.
Take care, man. All right, dude. It's an hour and a half. This is nuts. All right, buddy. Good. Anything else?
No, I had a lot of fun talking to people. We'll do it again real soon.
Awesome.
And, we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. We print this Sunday night. If you don't subscribe, please do to order a subscription to The Giant Insider. Go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to Magzter.com for a digital subscription, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R, and download the Giant Insider app from the App Store. All right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant Days. Take care, everybody.
Take care, everybody.